As we move into this year, God is calling us not just to grow ministries or spaces or influence, all right? He's calling us to build lives, restore faith, strengthen families, and advance his kingdom. It's real clear, all right? Before God ever builds outwardly, though, he always builds inwardly. And he always starts with us. He starts with the person in the mirror. So turn with me. We're going to look at a few passages. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Chapter 3 is talking about Paul, an apostle, and Apollos. They're both servants of Christ. And this verse says this. It starts off, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. All right, this is Paul talking. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building, all right? Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have on Jesus Christ. Bottom line is, God is building us to be like him, but we are building a foundation, but it can be nothing on nothing other than Jesus Christ, right? He is the firm foundation. He is the only thing that we build upon. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that we already have, which is Jesus Christ. That's really important that we build on his word. We build on the truth from scripture. We're not building on opinions or thoughts or preferences or anything that's out there from the world, right? We're building on him and his truth. Amen? That's a big deal. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Not only is God asking us to build people, build for the kingdom, but we are to build one another up. You're not just next to the people you're next to for no reason. We are to intertwine our lives and to breathe life and encouragement to one another, to walk with, to encourage, to pray with. It's important that we are doing this together, all right? Every generation receives an assignment from God. Some have conquered, some preserve, some build. Nehemiah's generation didn't destroy or preserve. They rebuilt what had been lost. The walls had been broken down for a long time. All right, 2026 is our generation, though. It's our time, Rockside, to build with God. Build people, restore faith, strengthen families, and advance the kingdom. All right, and again, when I say we, I'm not just saying me and the few folks that sit up here on the team. I'm saying we is we. We is us. We is you. Nobody gets away from this. God is doing a new thing, but new things require focus, they require prayer, and they require alignment with his vision, all right? Nothing that we're doing is not what God wants us to do. It's all from scripture, all right? So let's read this first chapter. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to read this first portion of scripture as we begin to talk about Nehemiah and what he did. It's just a beautiful story. And let me find it. There it is. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It'll be on the screen if you have your Bible or device. That'll be great. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, all right? These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of that guy. Yes, sometimes, you know, you don't even want to try to say him. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, I got it. I know it. It reads weird on my screen. Yeah. Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanini, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who would return there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. All right, let's stop right there. So at this time, all right, the book before, Ezra, they had spent time rebuilding the temple because things had all been destroyed. So they had rebuilt the temple, but the walls of Jerusalem are still remained broken down. All right, so that is the case of what's going on right now. All right, so that's why he's asking, how are those that returned? How are things going in Jerusalem? All right, so temple is rebuilt, walls still, though, very much not rebuilt. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days, I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations, right? Which happened. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hands are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. Now, there's a lot in just that one little portion of scripture that's going on, all right? And so let's unpack that a little bit. It's not just his prayer. There is a whole lot going on here, and let's talk about that. So why does this matter, all right? Nehemiah's story illustrates the remarkable impact that one person fully devoted to God can have. One person, all right? With a sword in one hand and a towel in the other, this unstoppable hero, Nehemiah, endures personal attacks and deception. He loves God more than his own safety, and he ends up uniting the Israelites to perform a seemingly impossible task, which was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Imagine what your life fully surrendered to God could do for the kingdom. I want to pause right now. Imagine right now your life, not partially surrendered, not a 10% surrendered, 100% fully surrendered to God. What could your life do for the kingdom? You see, Nehemiah was a layperson. He was a cupbearer. We'll talk about that in a minute. He wasn't a clergy person, wasn't a pastor, wasn't a member of royalty. He was a regular Joe. Now, the cupbearer, for those of you that know or don't know, this is a job I don't know that I would want to have. So a cupbearer is a high-ranking, trusted official responsible for serving wine or the drink at the king's table, protecting him from assassination by tasting drinks for poison. Sign me, you know, like, wow, that's pretty incredible. Due to the constant proximity to the king, they served as intimate confidants, unofficial advisors, and very influential leaders. So Nehemiah, although he was a regular Joe, a layperson, he held this job, this role with the king. He was a cupbearer. So the king trusted him. He saw favor in his life. He knew that he was a confidant. So that's a big deal. But I think for us, we need to look at it as he was just a regular person that saw a great need. And the first thing that he did was pray. The first thing that he did was fast to see, what does this mean? It dawned on Nehemiah that he might have been positioned where he was to make a difference on purpose. For some of you here, you've been struggling with your job. You've been frustrated about what that's like, and you're like, why am I here? Well, let me tell you, you're positioned. You're placed. You are sent. It may not make sense. It might be frustrating. You might be a target. But you are there for a purpose and a reason. What you need, like Nehemiah, is to get a hold of the why, to see it through a perspective of mission, not just the everyday, I gotta go do and I hate this and it's always fresh. Like, why are you there? It dawned on him that he had been positioned specifically. We're not gonna obviously read the rest of the chapters. I would encourage you though to read the book of Nehemiah. It's short, it's like 13 chapters. It's a beautiful story. And you guys realize that these are history accounts, right? These aren't just stories that someone decided to write. This is history, all right? So read the book of Nehemiah, the rest of the book. It's incredible what happens and all the specifics. We're not gonna get onto all of those in this moment. But Nehemiah went to the king and he asked if he could return to his homeland, all right? So he had a job and he's asking to, hey, can I take a time off from my job so I can go do a different job, all right? He wanted to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down. Not only did he find favor with the king, because in the prayer that we read, he asked, God, give me favor, right? He found favor with the king, but he requested letters for safe passage, right? That's important as he's traveling back so that he could have safe passage. He also asked for supplies. So the king not only said, yeah, you can take leave from your job. Yes, I'll give you these letters for safe passage. But then guess what? I'm going to give you what you need for the building of the wall. Incredible, incredible favor. The king granted him all that he requested. You see, in church, we often separate our career from our worship. And I want to challenge us, that's not the case. You are where you are on purpose. But Nehemiah, he saw his career as a strategic position. King Artaxerxes was an unrepentant man, but God used him. He had the power to make it happen. Perhaps you have not viewed your position as an opportunity to make a difference for the glory of God. Hopefully after today, you'll see that differently. Hopefully you see where you are sent and where you're positioned differently today. You are there to make a difference for the glory of God. I understand some of you are places where you can't just freely say the name of Jesus. I get that. But you can bring the power of the Holy Spirit and his love and his grace and patience and being a good employee and showing up on time and being kind. You can bring all the fruits of the Spirit with you. Right? If we're going to build and rebuild people and communities, guys, we need to learn to kingdomize our skills. That's not a word. It's actually not a word, technically, kingdomize, but I made it one. We got to kingdomize our skills, our purposes. God has gifted each one of you specifically. There's a reason for that. It's for the kingdom. And your job is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is ask why, how, what, how do I use these gifts, what you've given me for your purposes, Lord, right? God used Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem because of his prayer, his integrity, and his obedience. So there are some lessons for us to learn. All right. God still builds his kingdom through ordinary people with surrendered hearts. That's all of us here. We are ordinary people, right? God will build great things through surrendered hearts. We don't need titles or platforms. We need a willingness to serve and obey. Do you have that today? Do you have the willingness to serve and obey? These are just questions for you to be asking your heart and soul today. So the wall, all right, the wall of Jerusalem, they had been destroyed for 140 years. Think about that. They'd been laid out broke, just busted up. Nobody, until the time of Nehemiah, decided to do anything about it. That's a big deal. Walls during that time meant protection, identity, dignity, and future. In 586 BC, Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, leaving it in ruins. Then in 445 BC, the Jews were then allowed to return under Persian rule. But the walls, though, still in rubble, right? Rebuilding the wall restored safety, hope, and God's honor. And Nehemiah would accomplish this task in just 52 days, a task that had not been achieved for 140 years. It took them 52 days. Obviously, that was miraculous. That was nothing more than the hand of God, the call, somebody saying yes, somebody say, I'll be used of God, I'm going to show up, and we're going to do this, right? Think about that. The entire walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in 52 days. That's a month and 12 days. They didn't have the equipment we have today. Miraculous. Don't you think in some of our situations and lives, we look at it and go, it's too busted up, it's too broken down, nothing can happen. No, God, it doesn't take long when you put God first. The healing can come, the forgiveness can come, the restoration can come. The walls can get rebuilt if you allow it. Nehemiah 1:3 said this, the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah saw a city without protection or dignity. God was calling him to restore both the city and the people spiritually. Do you know that he could have just said, oh, I'm going to just ignore that. I mean, he had a free will. He wasn't forced to do that. Imagine what goes unchecked or not taken care of in the kingdom because we aren't aware or we're not saying yes, so we're saying that's too tough or that's difficult, right? That's true. He wept, he mourned, he prayed, and he fasted. And we need to do the same. So a couple quick key lessons. Number one, building begins with burden. Right? Nehemiah chapter 2, 17 says, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. His first response was burden, not ambition. You cannot build God's work out of obligation. You've got to build from a heart that cares deeply about God, his people, and his mission. Get in the will of God so you can do the will of God. Okay? You've got to get in it first. So get in the will of God so you can do the will of God. That's huge. You and I are to live lives as ones that are sent. You are sent, not just at work. You are sent to work. You're not just in the situation that you're in. You're sent to that situation at this time, at this purpose. Burden always precedes building. So that's number one, building begins with burden. Number two, building attracts opposition. Okay, if you go into more of the chapters of Nehemiah, he begins to create some frenemies. They're actually more enemies, but they didn't like the fact of what he was doing. Nehemiah 4:1 says, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. He goes on to, they do all kinds of things to mock what's going on and try to throw rumors and really make it hard for what they were trying to do good, all right? Building is going to attract opposition. It's just going to come with it. Opposition arose because progress threatened the status quo. It's always going to be the case. Opposition often signals that God is at work. Fear, ridicule, and distraction are expected when building for God. All right, so it's going to happen. It's going to You're going to build for his kingdom, you're going to get opposition, all right? Number three, build and battle at the same time, all right? Nehemiah 4:9 says this, but we prayed to our God and we guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves, all right? And then verse 15 through 18, again, we're not going to read all of this, but you need to on your own time. When the enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah. who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and the other one holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeters stayed with me to sound the alarm. That's one of the coolest visuals ever, to think as they are building the wall, they've got a sword right here, they're with one hand, and they've got, they're protecting and building at the same time. Isn't that incredible? Now, obviously the sword, that was like a legit sword, right? They didn't have Bibles strapped to their legs, right? But for us, that's Bible, right? Sword of the Spirit. The Bible is that. So we need to be building with the Bible, which is our sword of the Spirit, as we are connecting and building for God's kingdom. We need to be doing both, just like them. Builders carried tools with one hand and sword in the other. I just think of like the wax on, wax off. You know, you got a sword here and they're doing this and they're working together to get this done. That's a big deal. The Jews were vulnerable to attack while rebuilding. They didn't wait for enemies. They built while defending themselves. They were covering one another's backs. Faithful work requires vigilance, you guys. Spiritual maturity means praying while working, building while battling, and planning while trusting God. We've got to do all those things at the same time, all right? So we're going to have to build and battle at the same time because the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't take time off. He doesn't go, well, you know, they're all doing pretty good. I'm going to go over here and just kind of chill out. No. He continues to prowl and to look for how he can destroy. So we can't take the armor off and go have a nap. We got to keep the armor on and keep focused on what God has called us to do, ready for battle while we continue to build. Amen? Amen. The sword is the word. Nehemiah 4:18, all the builders had a sword belted to their side. You know, Ephesians 16 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword protected them physically. The word of God protected them spiritually. Build with truth, not opinions. That's our only option, you guys. As we move forward and our culture continues to implode and who knows what happens, that doesn't determine how we operate. Our kingdom is not of this world. We will continue to follow scripture and the Jesus of this Bible, and we will live accordingly, right? We'll keep our eyes off of the chaos, because let me just say this too. What you may think you see or you think you may know about whatever topic, you don't know. We don't know. We don't. There's a lot of technology. There's a lot of things out there that can make things look certain ways, and I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, we don't know all the things. We never will. But what we do know is we know Jesus, who is truth, the way, the truth, the life. We do know that scripture we can stand upon, right? We do know those things. So let's keep our vision, let's keep our focus, let's keep what we're saying and doing on the cross of Jesus, because it will continue to get divisive. All right, the enemy wants to divide. He'll bring anything that he can to try to divide people, God's people, right? We're called to love one another, build one another up. We are not each other's enemies. No matter how you believe, what you think, how you vote, we are not each other's enemies. We are the body of Christ, and God has called us to love one another and build one another up. It's on your scripture on the back of your keychain, but it's so small that you can't even really read it. So I apologize. That didn't turn out real well, but that's okay. It's on there. Encourage and build one another up. In chapter 3 of Nehemiah, again, not going to be able to get into it, families rebuilt the wall near their homes. So wherever they lived in Jerusalem, that family went over here and said, okay, we live over here on this corner. So our family, we're going to rebuild this part of the wall. Incredible. Incredible. What part of the wall, what part of build do you have? What part of the kingdom is it for you to build? Because we need everyone doing their part. I love that each family contributed to a collective effort. Ownership motivated protection should be the same with us, you guys. I love the visual of that. God builds through community. So here's how we respond in 2026, all right? We got a little acrostic for you, all right? So B, build on the right foundation, okay? That is what our commitment is. We will build on the right foundation. A strong future requires a solid foundation. Programs are good, but they don't hold weight. Personalities don't sustain growth. Jesus alone is the foundation. Amen? All right, so you, unite and assemble. I love that. Building never happens in isolation. Okay? Scripture reminds us that we are living stones assembled into something greater than ourselves. We are the body of Christ, and we need to operate that. We need to unite and assemble together to build people, build the kingdom, all right? And that's each one of us doing our own part. God builds through community. When we gather, when we serve, when we pray together. Get in community today. So in your bulletin, handy little flyer right here, right? Check it out. Ways to grow and serve in community. Every single one of you should be connected outside of Sunday in some sort of group. Whether it's a Bible study, a life group, whether it's a serving group, a way to minister, it doesn't matter. But there are so many ways to be connected outside of here, all right? We grow in community when we serve and we gather and we pray together, all right? So make sure and check this out, all right? There's information. You can go. You can sign up. If you have questions, how do I get involved? You can go online. You can queue. There's a QR right there. But we're all called to be connected in, all right? You've got to do your part, all right? So that's the you. I, increase and strengthen. God's design is not just growth in numbers, although that will happen, but growth in strength and discipleship, all right? We increase when faith is encouraged, when gifts are activated, and love is practiced. Strength comes when we intentionally build one another up, encourage one another, amen? We got enough going on. We need life being breathed into us. All right, that's the I. L, lift and raise what has been broken. God specializes in restoration. We all need a piece of that. The world that's at our offices and our streets and our families, they need restored. God is in that business. He's restoring faith that's grown tired, passion that has gone quiet, and hope that feels delayed. What feels broken today may very well become a testimony tomorrow. So don't give up and don't lose hope. Keep believing, keep walking, keep teaching, keep staying, keep trusting, keep on. Because today it might feel one way, but tomorrow it could be very much a testimony. All right? D, develop what God has entrusted. All right? God builds what we surrender. God builds what we surrender. Time, gifts, obedience, prayer. When we give it to him, he builds on it. He takes it and he blesses it. When we offer what we have, 5 loaves, fish, a little bit, God multiplies it. It's a principle of the kingdom, all right? He builds what we surrender. What are you surrendering today? I want to emphasize this too in our bulletin. These are our prayer points for 2026. Take this out, put it in your journal, put it in your Bible. These are the things that we are collectively praying for as a church. There are 12 things on here. We've done it for the last couple of years, and we've watched God continue to answer prayers after prayers after prayers as we all pray. When we gather at pre-service prayer or Saturday prayer or any other time prayer, we bring these out often and we pray and we believe that God is going to answer our prayers. And so make sure, all right, put that in your Bible, put it in your journal. It's a great resource that we're going to use this year, that we're going to build one another up as we pray for each other, as we pray for this church. Amen? Amen. All right, Matthew, we're getting done. We're almost done. You guys holding with me? I know we're after 12, but it's just a few more minutes. Matthew 16:18 through 19. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, right? Jesus is talking to Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. I love this next part. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. The gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. The church is called to rise. The church is called to build people. All right, one at a time, walk in discipleship, walk in healing. And this is where we're at today, Rockside. This is the challenge for all of us to be a part of, all right? And it's each one of us. It's not just a few of us.